So the North Koreans are very good at dealing with all these powers there, as Paul points out. But let's bring Neil Ferguson back, Lawrence A. Tisch Professor of History at Harvard University and the William Ziegler Professor at the Harvard Business School. He's also the author of The Ascent of Money, A Financial History of the World. And let's point out right at the top, Neil, that you coined this term chimerica, which suggests, at least in a single word, what Barack Obama seemed to be talking about yesterday, and that was that this is the most important bilateral relationship of the 21st century. Do you agree?
Yes, I do. A few years ago, my friend Moritz Schularik and I were trying to work out what was driving the global economy before the great crash arose, and we decided that Chimerica was the answer, the marriage between China and America that had created almost one economy right at the core of the global system. And it's an extraordinarily unbalanced marriage because one partner does all the saving and the other does all the spending, or perhaps I should say did all the spending. China was exporting. America was importing, China was saving, and America was splurging. And I think the key to the crisis is actually that this relationship is now a marriage on the rocks. I thought the president's speech was very interesting indeed because he clearly gets it. He sees that this is the key, and he's also concerned that that Chimerica could be falling apart on his watch.
Although the question is, what do you do about that? If it's unbalanced economically, is that to say that the only clout the United States has in this U.S.-China relationship is military clout, strategic clout, projection of power in the Pacific, that sort of thing?
No, I think it has financial power. You know, when you owe the bank a small amount of money, the bank has the power. When you owe the bank a really large amount of money, you have the power.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And the United States is in the position of being the biggest debtor on the planet, and China is its most important creditor. Remember, the Chinese weren't lending to us out of altruism. What they were doing was intervening to keep their own currency relatively weak against the dollar. That meant that they were essentially selling their currency and buying ours, and accumulating as a result more than $2 trillion worth of international reserves, most of which are held in the form of dollar-denominated securities, and a very big chunk of those are U.S. Federal treasuries.
Well, let's do the numbers there. $2 trillion in debt held by the Chinese. It allows the Chinese to keep their currency low-valued, which favors their exports.
Right.
The issue of, sort of currency exchange, of floating the yuan, is the hottest issue in these talks yet. It seems to me, and you've postulated in the past, that if this current course continues, the U.S. and China are inevitably headed for serious conflict down the road. Would it be better to push the issue of the yuan and the exchange rate now, even though it's so sensitive, to avoid more serious strategic conflict later on?
Well, I think it's important to focus on these financial issues because the strategic questions in many cases are really something that can be postponed. For example, it's clear that China has enormous ambitions to be a naval equal of the United States in Asia Pacific, but it's nowhere near being ready for that yet. The issue of finances is prime time. It's really the key now because the Chinese have been saying since March, indeed even earlier, since the Davos World Economic Forum, that they're very nervous about the way the United States is combating the financial crisis by printing money. They look at the scale of the deficit that we're likely to run this year alone, and they ask themselves, how long can this go on?
Well, let's talk quickly before we go then. Is this setting up like Germany and Britain at the turn of the 20th century, where it appeared that they were headed for inevitable cooperation, but instead it was World War I? And yeah. In this particular case, you have the potential, and I don't know if you saw the news conference yesterday, Barack Obama standing in that nice background with the two flags together as though they're the same flag, the Chinese and the United States flag, waving together. Are we headed for cooperation or for something much darker?
100 years ago, the United Kingdom was the dominant power and Germany was the rising power. And they were economically deeply intertwined in terms of trade and in terms of investment. And yet, of course, just a few years later, they ended up being at war with one another. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get a war between the United States and China anytime soon, because there's a long way to go before the Chinese are militarily in a position to take on the U.S. But I do think that this intimate relationship that was based on Chinese saving and American splurging is coming unstuck. And over the next 10 or 20 years, I think we'll see the breakup of Chi-America and the emergence of a Chinese-American rivalry, similar to the Anglo-German rivalry that ultimately produced the world wars of the last century. I think that's highly likely to be our future, unfortunately, for Chi-America.
Finally, is there anything out of the fine print, and Amy and Paul talked about this a moment ago, and the posturing of this ceremonial meeting that we could look at as a sign of stability and maybe a sense that maybe this isn't coming unstuck? What do we look for, thinking ahead over the next couple of weeks?
I think there's so many things they can disagree about. But the one thing that I think they are going to agree about is that neither China nor the United States is really serious about doing anything to reduce CO2 emissions and avoid climate change. That, I think, is the tragic truth about Chi-America.
Oh, man, no good news from Neil Ferguson this morning. Lawrence A. Tisch, professor of history at Harvard University, and William Ziegler, professor at the Harvard Business School, watching the China-America talks taking place in Washington. He's also the author of The Ascent of Money, A Financial History of the World. Neil, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.